Bonjour.
Welcome to the new year and 2016's very first episode of So French, a podcast about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stéphane de Vries.
And my name is Sara Bertelson. This week we'll talk about the French world of comics, which might not be too funny if you're a woman. And we all know about Marie Antoinette and her faiblesse for cake, but we'll bring you the story about the cake which was forbidden by the Sun King and which was brought back by the revolution.
But first, the Charlie Hebdo commemorations. This week was already 1 year ago since the day the terrorist attack against the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo took place, where the Kouachi brothers killed cartoonists, journalists, as well as a bodyguard and a police officer in the heart of Paris. The event was followed by the hostage situation in the east of the city, where Ali Koulibaly killed 4 people in a kosher supermarket before being killed by the French SWAT teams. Over the last week, there have been a lot of public gatherings and official speeches, televised documentaries and special magazines editions, and around 100 books have been published about the topic this month. And then there was the grand finale, the homage to the victims, organized at the Place de la République in the center of Paris. Last year, millions and millions of people gathered in the city for a silent march. Now this year, it was a little bit different. This is how it sounded this week.
Pour apaiser la peine de tout un pays soulevé. Nous étions venus sans peur et sans haine ce dimanche de janvier.
Okay, so that was Johnny Hallyday singing Un dimanche en janvier, a Sunday in January. I think we need for our international audience to explain who is Johnny Hallyday, this French icon.
Yeah, he's not very known outside the French-speaking world, but he has sold over 110 million albums. Incredible, he's over 70 years already. And not only that, he is so rich that he has to live in Switzerland for fiscal reasons. He's also a close friend of Nicolas Sarkozy. So there's enough reason to be hated by Charlie Hebdo. And that's one of the reasons that this week a lot of people were thinking, what is Johnny Hallyday doing on the Place de la République?
It was kind of an awkward situation. It was a bit of a homage filled with contradictions, because you had Johnny Hallyday, who clearly was not liked by the Charlie Hebdo people who he was there supposed to pay homage to. He was also accompanied by the army choir.
Yeah,
which
strange.
Is another part of the French society that maybe wasn't the favorite, we'd say, of the Charlie Hebdo journalists. So quite a lot of people were just wondering what on earth is going on and who has decided who should be in this.
Yeah, because the president was there, the mayor of Paris, but almost the whole government as well. So usually they're very good advisors. So who came up with the idea to let Johnny Hallyday sing on the Place de la République? I'm afraid we'll never know.
There actually was the one of the former collaborators to France, Charlie Hebdo. He's called Ciné. His real name is Maurice Ciné. He said in his blog, Charb, which was one of the cartoonists who was killed in the attack, he said, Charb hated Johnny Hallyday, and it's him the authorities have invited to sing in his honor. When something stupid needs to be done, you can always count on those in charge of this country. They never fail. So, Stéphane, there's been almost a full week of commemorations mostly in Paris. What do you think? What's the atmosphere been like at these commemorations?
Well, I think the French are a little bit fed up with all these commemorations, because there were not a lot of people on the Place de la République. Charlie Hebdo also launched a special issue this week. They printed it in over a million copies. And last year there were long queues on the day when the Charlie Hebdo came out, the first one after the attacks. And now, all the kiosks still had a lot of Charlie Hebdo copies. They didn't sell.
I was surprised, because I thought they were going to be sold out in the afternoon, and because I forgot to buy one in the morning, and
yeah,
then, and I sort of rushed
me too,
to get
actually.
My copy.
Yeah,
There was no problem.
No, no problem at all. And still a couple of days later, there was still a lot of copies. So this shows that the people, well, they have not forgotten Charlie Hebdo, but I think they're a little bit saturated with all the commemorations, all the speeches by all the government members. Every time there's an attack or something happening, immediately the government is there because the cameras are there as well. So I think the French audience is a little bit tired of all these sad
but
images.
Does this mean also that the sort of the Charlie Hebdo spirit that it's dead? I know, for example, that Patrick Pelou, which was one of the members of Charlie Hebdo, who actually was not in that room when the attack took place, he said, "For me, my Charlie is dead."
Well, you know, Charlie Hebdo was not very well known before the attacks. I mean, they had a circulation of 30,000 copies. They were almost, they had a lot of financial problems. In the rest of the world, Charlie Hebdo was not very well known. It's a magazine that survived the 70s you know, the spirit is still of the 70s, but we're no longer in the 70s. I mean, the cover that they did this week about a drawing of God that the criminal is still running, something like that. It's you know, in the rest of Europe, it's just so old-fashioned. I'm not sure whether the Charlie Hebdo spirit is still there. I think you have to be really French to understand Charlie Hebdo and... Well, they have a lot of money now, so they probably will survive for a very long time, fortunately. But I'm not sure whether the next generation still will read Charlie Hebdo.
So this brings us to our scandal of the week. And the competition was pretty hard. But we decided to go with one that hasn't got very much international attention, even though it very much symbolizes France and French culture. We're speaking about comic books, or BD, as they're called here in France, which is short for bande dessinée. It's in very much the perfect bridge between politics, society, and art. And here in France, it even goes under the name of the ninth art. And every year, the small town of Angoulême holds a very famous and well-renowned comic book festival, and as every festival with some kind of self-esteem, Angoulême has its own prize, Le Grand Prix, it is called. Very clever name. However, this year, the short list to this award, which is not that short, it actually got 30 names on it, did not include one single woman. I repeat, not one.
On 30.
30 men. Yeah. 30 men, not one woman. And this actually prompted several of the nominated men to withdraw their names from the list. Hundreds of female cartoonists threatened to boycott the festival altogether and not even show up. And the issue of macho and sexist culture in the world of French comics finally, maybe we should say, got up to the surface.
Now, there are French cartoonists who are women as well, around 13%, so it's a minority, but they're still there. And the festival director, Franck Bondou, he thought there was nothing wrong. He defended himself by saying that the prize was some kind of not a life achievement, but an appreciation of a long career, and that there were no women who were qualified for this. The organizers then tried to respond to the outcry by promising to add women to the shortlist, but it was already too late. They drew a fresh backlash with comments that there are few female artists in the comic book history and that positive discrimination doesn't make sense in the arts. The festival director even said, "If you go to the Louvre, you'll equally find very few women artists." That's what he said, but he probably forgot that all the people who were depicted on the paintings in the Louvre are mostly women. Well, the festival later changed its mind and said it would open the Grand Prix to a vote with no proposed shortlist.
And to talk more about this, we're joined on the phone by Marie Jacoutet. She is a French cartoonist and artist based in London. Hello to you, Marie. What was your reaction when you heard about the Angoulême selection that was 100% male?
Well, actually, I was really surprised because I had had a look at the selection and at the nominees for the Grand Prix. And funnily enough, I'm really ashamed to say that I didn't even notice that it was only male selection. And then when it was brought to my attention, I was a bit disappointed, I must say. It could have been maybe good if they had pushed a bit some female in there. We don't see other female doing it. I mean, it sounds rather stupid, but as a little girl, when you're at school, and I'm talking about 20 years ago, the only example you have of people succeeding in the arts, in politics, and whichever world are male. So it's hard to imagine yourself and to project yourself in those shoes, let's say. And it's the same for the comics world. So maybe it needs to be forced in a bit.
What was your own inspiration? What made you want to be a cartoonist?
Yeah, that's actually probably my point, because all the artists I was fond of as a kid or that kind of rocked my world were male. And I'm not resentful for that, because I still absolutely love them. But I'm thinking of maybe my first proper artistic emotion was in front of a sculpture by Michelangelo in Florence. And well, I loved it. And then I discovered David Hockney, and that blew my mind. And then as a drawer, for instance, I love the work of Blutch, who is a comics artist, French artist. And well, they're all male and they're absolutely brilliant of different periods of time. But it is rather true that I didn't have much women to be looking at. And they've existed, and it's been like there is a long history of female artists as well. And I'm guessing, I know it's been a minority over the years, but they are completely blanked out of our history books, and that's a bit of a shame.
Do you think the French are more macho when it comes to women in the artistic environment?
I would say that culturally, I notice a difference of behavior in between male and female in France or in England, but I wouldn't be able to say how that translates in the art world or the comics world, really.
Could you suggest our listeners a couple of female cartoonists that they absolutely have to discover, apart from you, of course?
Of course I can. I mean, I really love the work of Anouk Ricard. Her work makes me laugh so hard. I really like the work of an artist called Rachel Taylor. She's an English drawer. And she's not yet published broadly, but she's going to be soon, because her work is fantastic. It's really poetic. I actually really like the work of Penelope Bagieu. I discovered it when I was studying like a few years ago. Actually, her blog made me laugh really much. And she was kind of one girl that inspired me to keep drawing. And I thought, well, you know, that's great. She's drawing things and making and writing stories and having a sense of humor that is not feminine. I mean, I wouldn't describe it as feminine. I would just describe it as really, really funny, basically.
Thank you very much, Marie. That gives us a good list. We'll put it on our website for our audience to check out. And now, since we are so French, this is the moment for this so French story. Last month, we talked about foie gras. This episode, we're talking about food again. Stéphane, what are we eating today?
Well, Sarah, this episode we'll be eating une galette des rois, or the king's cake. It's something that everybody's eating in the first week of January and almost the whole month of January. It's a round cake with a golden color. It's a symbol of the sun, and it's usually eaten to celebrate the arrival of the three wise kings. So everybody on the 6th of January is eating it. But it's actually, it dates from much earlier, the winter solstice on December 21st, a pagan festival. So this cake was eaten by pagans, basically. And that's the reason why it was forbidden by the church, and also the sun king, Louis XIV. Now, the cake is very good. I like it. I don't know if you like it, Sarah, but
I do.
You do. Can you make it? Because it's quite difficult.
No, huh? I buy it.
You buy it, yeah, just like everybody does. And it has something special in it, actually. In the cake, there's a magic bean, just one. Usually it's made of porcelain. And if you break your teeth on it, or just find it in your cake, then you're the king or the queen of the day and you're allowed to wear a crown. It's also the origin of many violent conflicts in many families with more than one child, because if there's one child who gets the bean and the other doesn't, well, then it's war.
Conflict.
Absolutely.
Dead serious conflict.
Yes. Now, it's not only the children who like these beans, but they're actually people collecting them. And they have a special name. They're called fabophiles. So the lovers
word
of beans.
Word of the day.
Word of the day. Fabophiles, lovers of beans. And not any bean, just a bean in the Galette des Rois. Well, the beans are very expensive, actually, because you can buy them on eBay. There are special clubs where they exchange the beans. So it sounds like an innocent cake, but there's actually a huge business behind it. And every year, the region of Paris, the Île-de-France, they choose the best Galette des Rois. And this year, the winner is the boulangerie Anita et Sylvain Joubert. And it's in Taverny, a town north of Paris. So if you want to have your cake and eat it, then you have to go to Taverny for the best Galette des Rois.
That wraps up this fourth edition of So French.
You can follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or SoundCloud, or share So French with your friends. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. We hope you'll join us then. Thank you very much for listening.
And we'll leave you with David Bowie, the genius who passed away this week. You already heard a lot of his hits, but probably not this song. His only one in French.